Greetings to each of you this morning, and welcome to worship with us, the visitors as well. Again, excuse me, it's good to be in God's house and to worship God together with other believers. I'm grateful for that privilege and for the freedom that we have to do that. And I think often of the many around the world that wish they had what we have and wish they could do what we do. And it's not as convenient, and it's hard work for them if they're going to worship. So let's remember them, and let's be grateful for the privileges that we enjoy here in America. This morning, you can turn to Matthew 24. I'll be taking one verse mainly that I want to look at. And I've titled this, Beware of Deception. I heard a story this week, or last week, I'm not sure which it was, but recently, and it's what caused me to, I guess, to think about this a little bit more. But I will read this, and then I will talk about that. And we'll begin with verse 4, and we'll read through the verse 13. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. As I thought of this, this is a familiar chapter, one that is often read and looked at as talking about the end of time and so on. And Jesus gives a picture here to the disciples. They ask him, well, what are going to be the signs of the end of time and so on? So Jesus goes through this portion here, and he points out some things that are going to happen. And so as I thought of that, as you look at this, this is over 2,000 years ago that Jesus would have been talking about this, and he was quite correctly portraying things that we are seeing in our time today and have actually all through our lives. So these things aren't new, and so they were looking for the end then, and so how much closer we must be today. And as we see some of these things, wars and rumors of wars, we've probably heard about wars all our lives. There have been times of peace, but there have been somewhere in the world there seems to be some kind of conflict going on between countries or clans of people or something. So it's nothing new. And Jesus said they're going to continue. So don't be alarmed and think that the end's going to come now because there's a big war. Not necessarily. And then it talks about famines, and it talks about pestilences. And I understand that this year or next month is the year for the, I don't know if I can even pronounce them, cicadas, whatever they are. The bugs or the beetles, whatever, come out of the ground every 7 years, and then there's others that come out 14 years. And this year, from what I read, is we are to be the 7-year and the 14-year will come out. So What will that look like? You've heard them in the past, I know, and they can be a mess. Some places, I know up in Abbeville County, they were quite thick years ago, much more than here. So how will that be? You know, I've read recently of the pestilences and the plagues that God sent on the Egyptians before the Israelites left Egypt. And I thought, I've read some of that. I can't imagine. The flies, we have flies here, and they're very annoying. But they're not getting in your mouth every time your mouth opens. You're not breathing them. They're not in your food so thick that you can't eat, and so on. But it sounded like that's the way it was there in Egypt. They were everywhere, or frogs in your bed, in your bathtub, on the floor, everywhere. All that, I can't imagine how that must have been. So, some of these things are going to happen. Earthquakes. We hear more of earthquakes in different places than we did when I was young, as I recall. And tornadoes, and all kinds of devastation, hurricanes, and so on. Those things will increase as time goes on. But he says the end is not yet. No one knows when Jesus is going to come again, only God the Father. And then there are going to be false prophets that are going to go out to deceive many. And we see that there's a lot of that going on. We deal with that constantly in our lives daily, in that Satan is trying to deceive us and to draw us away from God and from his word in whatever form or fashion. And we know that Satan is he is good at what he does because he's had a lot of experience. He's been doing it a long time. And so he understands our weaknesses and is able to tempt us when we are weak and so on. And so the Bible talks a lot, and I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today if I have time to go through these. And it's only a small portion of what the Bible, other verses in the Bible that you can read that tell us to be on guard. Or as Jesus said here, take heed, pay attention, don't be sleeping. Be aware of your surroundings and what's going on and what's happening. And so, obviously, there is something about deception that was important enough that Jesus spoke so much about it, and then the Holy Spirit had the writers of the scriptures also write about that as well. Paul wrote about it, and all the scribes of the scriptures talk about it somewhere in the writings. And also you go back into Moses. God spoke to Moses for the Israelite people, and he gave them many warnings of tell the people not to do this. Don't follow the gods of those people that they are going to live with, because they will lead them astray and lead them away. And so it's in the tendency of man to drift away and to look out. And as our Sunday school lesson was very fitting this morning, to the only satisfaction that we can have is through knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, being forgiven of our sin, and have a clean heart before him. And yet within us as people, our tendency and our energies go into things that, as our Sunday school lesson said, things that don't satisfy. Why do you spend your money on something that doesn't satisfy? And yet we will do it, and we will do it, and we'll do it. And so it's something that we contend with, and we will as long as we are in this life. So to deceive is simply to make a person believe what is not true or mislead, or a liar. And that's pretty simple. It's pretty elementary. And yet, it's pretty deep as well. In 2 John, 2 John 7 through 9, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, and I'll be using that quite a bit this morning simply to clarify some of the scriptures a little better. 2 John verses 7 through 9. For many imposters, seducers, deceivers, and false leaders have gone out into the world, men who will not acknowledge, confess, admit the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, in bodily form. Such a one is the imposter, the seducer, the deceiver, the false leader, the antagonist of Christ, and the Antichrist. Look to yourselves, take care, that you may not lose, throw away, or destroy all that we and you have labored for, but that you may persevere until you win and receive back a perfect reward in full. Anyone who runs on ahead of God and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, who is not content with what he taught, does not have God. But he who continues to live in the doctrine, teaching of Christ, does have God, and he has both the Father and the Son. Again, a good warning and a good tells us what to look for. Some of those things, people that are deceivers, they are imposters. There are seducers, and so on. And there's another scripture let me see here where it is. I don't see it now, but it talks about pay attention to what you hear. And so in our world that we live today, there is a lot of information. There are a lot of voices. There are a lot of ideas that people have out there. And reading on, looking at Facebook and some of the things I see and people post and follow, and I don't pay a lot of attention. I don't read near all of it. But I see enough that certain people seem to have a lot of time on their hands and they're always posting something. And those are the ones that I sort of put a red flag. It's like, okay, I will pay close attention to those because I have a feeling that they will post a lot of things that maybe aren't quite accurate. And so in our world, Jesus said, he told the Sadducees, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but so be it. Matthew 22:29, Jesus said to the Sadducees, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." And so part of their problem was, like Jesus pointed out, they didn't know the scriptures. So you and I, it is very important that we know what the scriptures say so that we can determine which is false and which is truth. There are lots of polls that are taken. And I don't know what you think of polls. Polls are probably just what they are. Information that gives a little bit of a temperature of where people are in society. Whether it is they take polls about people, what age groups, and how many people read the Bible daily or weekly or monthly, and who goes to church, how often they go to church, and so on. And for whatever it's worth, but sometimes it's alarming to see that the numbers are going down. And less and less people are reading the scriptures, less and less people are going to church and fellowshipping with God's people. So let that not be part of us. Let's not be caught up in that. And let's continue to hold the Bible high as the rule of our lives and where we get our information, because it is true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So we can know that following Jesus is following the truth. I started to say of a story, not really a story, it's a true account, of a young lady that as a young person had everything going for her. She had the world at her bidding. She was very popular, a very dynamic young lady as a Christian, and this was her pastor telling and relating the story. And he went on to say that later on in life, she fell into an immoral situation, and how disappointed he was when he saw who this lady was and what she could have become and so on. And anyway, she went into it, it destroyed her life. And she went into a period of she just disappeared. But somewhere along the way, a person that she had ministered to earlier in her life came back to her and reminded her of Scripture and talked to her. And anyway, she found her way back. And today she is a lady that is very prominent in, and I don't remember what it is she's involved in, whether it's abortion or something for human life. Abuse, people, I'm not sure. But she has come back, and she's a person that most of you would recognize if I'd say the name, and I'm not going to do that. But the story, the idea of this is simply the pastor later then was interviewing her and saying, what happened? How did you go from where you were until you fell and so on? And her answer was simply a little bit at a time. She just neglected, and I don't remember what she said on that, but I'm assuming it neglected God in a close fellowship with God. Things crowded into her life as she was very popular, and so it took away her time for God, slowly, little by little. And as I thought of that, it's often that's how people fall. It's not generally just one big, one minute you're here and the next minute you're over here. But it's a slow process of giving up something here that I should be doing, whether it's reading or praying or whatever it is. Being careful where I go, what I do, who I'm with. And it's a progress that pretty soon you find yourself in a place that you never intended to be. And so this is what Satan likes to do. You know, Satan isn't in a hurry either, really, in a way. The Bible does say he is very active because he knows his time is short. But at the same time, if he thinks he can get you, it doesn't matter. He will take whatever measures it takes and time it takes to get you there, if he can. But we don't have to go that route. We don't have to. Let's remember what we learned several years ago. Probably always knew it, but I think it's the first time I ever heard it. We're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. Remember that. The victory's been won. And so let's be faithful to that. Jesus also said in Matthew 10:16, he said, behold, I send you forth, talking about the disciples as he sent them out, send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So you and I as well, we need wisdom. Solomon in Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom and becoming a part, allowing wisdom to be a part of our lives and listening and paying attention to wisdom. And then to be harmless as doves. We know that doves are, they're pretty harmless. And they're pretty timid and so on. So let's move on. I'm just going to give you some verses that again, remind us of paying attention, being aware, and so on. And a lot of these verses talk about let no man deceive you. Ephesians 5:6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Again, as I said earlier, there's a lot of teaching. There's a lot of things out there that sound very appealing and sound very good. But some things, be careful. There is error mixed with some truth. And so it is easy to be deceived. So Paul is saying, don't be deceived. Also in 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Again, by any means. And then in 1 John 3:7, I'm going to read that out of the Amplified. And it's a little bit, in the King James, it says, little children, let no man deceive you. And the Amplified says, boys or lads, let no one deceive any and lead you astray. He who practices righteousness, who is upright, conforming to the divine, will in purpose, thought, and action, living a consistently conscientious life, is righteous even as he is righteous. So it also pertains to, I like the King James a little better in that. It says little children. It includes all of us. It's not just just the male sect as such. So again, let no man deceive you. I guess if you don't take anything else home and remember anything else I say today, just remember that phrase, let no man deceive you. Another one, Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There was another verse somewhere. Maybe it's in the other verses I have here in the back. Anyway, I want to give you some things now, eight things, simply things you already know, but just to remind us again of things that we can do to help us and to keep us from falling into deception. In Mark 4:24, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that have, you that hear, shall more be given. I'm going to read that out of the Amplified as well. Forgive my hesitation. Seemed like my eyes, my glasses aren't cooperating very well. Okay, we'll read Mark 4:23-24. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. So again, as I talked about a little bit earlier about things that you hear, be careful what you listen to And there's, again, there's so much that we can hear and so much things we can tune into, and it's not necessarily all good or for our edification or for our growth. 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Don't be overconfident. You know, sometimes we hear of people of some sin that they fall into or something people do and say, "Well, that would never be me. I would never do that." Don't be so sure. There is within every person, there is this capability of falling and being deceived. So don't be overconfident. Those that usually are overconfident find themselves falling and doing exactly what they said they wouldn't do. So be careful with that. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men." The Amplified says, "Be on guard, be alert, stand firm, act like men, and be courageous." Again, be on your guard, be alert. Someone has said that we need to be forewarned is to be, forget the rest of it, I shouldn't even said it, but we need information. If you listen to 99.1, whatever that's, Bible Broadcasting, I think it is, BBN, they often will say that, you need information. And there is lots of information, but let's watch where we get our information and to have correct information. I don't think it's good to stick our heads in the sand and think everything's going to be fine, but it's okay to hear and to learn, but to make good choices. Colossians 4:2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." The Amplified says, "Be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in praying with thanksgiving." 1 Timothy 4:16, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them." And again, hold to biblical truth, persevere in true doctrine. Again, Jesus told the Sadducees, "You err because you don't know the scriptures." Probably today, there are more Bibles and the scriptures more available in most of the world than any time in history. And yet, probably, people are more illiterate in knowledge of what the Bible says than any other time as well, because we don't avail ourselves. So let's be careful. And I'm not pointing my finger at anyone, because I face and deal with the same things that you do. And I know the battle that I have. I know the intent that I have to be intentional to read my Bible and to pray, and how easy it is to think, "I don't have time now, I gotta go, I'm a little late," and so on. But somewhere along the way, I need to make up that time. To hold biblical truth, the Bible is truth, to make my evaluations and discernments of life from the perspective from the Word of God, and to base it on that, because we know it is the truth, and persevere in true doctrine. And then in Jude 20, verse 20 and 21, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." The Amplified says in verse 21, "Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God, and expect patiently, wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring you unto life eternal." And then Revelation 3:2, It's a church at Sardis that Jesus is speaking to. He says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. And the Amplified says, rouse yourselves and keep awake. Strengthen, invigorate what remains and is on the point of dying. Study the scriptures. And so these are all things in all verses simply to remind us of things we can do. You know, we said that in Sunday school. There is an effort on our part that we have to do as people if we're going to experience the blessings of God. And if we're going to experience satisfaction from God in a relationship with God, then there's work that you and I have to put into that. We can't just sit back and coast along. And so I'm going to recap some of these again. Our verse for this morning is Matthew 24, verse 4. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. And so the first thing we can do is take heed what you hear. Number two is don't be overconfident. Three is be on your guard, be alert, stand firm, act like men, and be courageous. Grow in strength. Number four, be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in praying with thanksgiving. The fifth one is hold a biblical truth. Hold to biblical truth, persevere in true doctrine. And the sixth one is building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The seventh one, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God and expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring you unto life eternal. And the eighth one is rouse yourselves and keep awake and strengthen, study the scriptures, invigorate what remains and is on the point of dying. So take heed, be watchful, be aware, pray, be thankful, pay attention, be on your guard. These are all warnings that the scriptures give us to remind us of who we are and what we need to do. So, be informed by scripture, not Facebook. You know, years ago there was a saying when a CB was real popular, people would say, well, it's got to be true because I heard it on the CB. And today people are saying, well, it's got to be true because it was on Facebook. Well, that's not the case. I can assure you, and I know you know that. So just be alert, be aware. Matthew 24, 4 again, take heed that no man deceive you. There's nothing greater than as a Christian and as fellow believers that it, when we come to the end, as Jesus said, he that is faithful to the end will be saved, that we can see each other in heaven and know that we made it. And there's no greater joy, John says, than to see that his children walk in truth. And I believe that comes from the heart of God as he looks upon each of us as well. And God's desire is that we would be faithful and that we would follow the truth and do that which he would have us do. Do we have a song? 878 in Faith and Praise. When you find it, you can stand. Father, again, we are grateful this morning for who you are and all that you have done for us, in that you have supplied us with your word. You have graciously given us your word to read, to study, and to have with us. And I pray that you would help us to make use of the privileges that are ours in doing that and learning about you. Thank you, God, for prayer, that we can communicate with you and that we can also hear from you and the things that you want us to learn and to grow in. And so again, we are grateful to you and we praise and thank you today for all the blessings that you give us because of Jesus. And so thank you. I pray you'd go with each one today. Bless and keep us in your care and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.